Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
One of the highlights of my week is sitting down with our independent bookseller of the week to discuss some great reads that they want to share with Roundtable listeners. It is a thrill to talk about all of these great books. And I always love when Amy Lane comes in because, look, all of our booksellers have wonderful, wonderful books. But I've actually read some of these and they're great. So that's very, very cool. Amy Lane is of the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery and is here to convince you, although it won't take much, that all of these titles are winners. Amy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
It is lovely to see you as always.
Good to see you.
So, where would you like to begin?
I'm going to begin with, I think, The Rosie Project, which I doubt you've read.
No, I actually have read it.
Did you really?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did.
Oh, I'm so pleased by that.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed this book. It was so charming. This is a book about a genetics professor named Don Tillman who is socially inept, to say the least.
Don is one of those characters when you read, you wince.
Yes. And yet at the same time, you root desperately.
Absolutely.
For him to get the girl, really, in the end. He has devised this wife project because he can't meet a woman. So he has this whole list of, traits, right, that he wants from a woman, and he has this questionnaire that he devises to give to potential mates of his, and through happenstance meets this woman named Rosie in his office, who he believes is there to be part of his wife project, when in fact, of course, she's not. And of course, they develop a friendship that becomes more than that, and he helps her to discover her father, her unknown father. Genetically, of course, because that is what he does. But I loved this book on many, many levels. Either way, I should mention that it is by Graham Simsion.
I have to say, this is a weird book for me because when I received a copy of it, mm-hmm. and I looked at it and I thought it was nonfiction. It looks like nonfiction to me.
Really?
It does have the word novel on it, but you have to look at that sort of...
It does. But the cover is like this... It's a red cover with a big white heart on it.
No, I know. It was just like... And maybe it was just the word project
that
kind of threw me.
Yeah.
But and there was a lot of words on the bottom of it that were kind of like comments and different things. And it looked to me like nonfiction, so I put it aside. And then I started to see the book in all my independent bookstore friend places.
Yay.
And there it was, front and center, and IndiePix and all that stuff.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I should pull this out. And then I did, and I was very glad I did because it's just a lovely book.
It really is. And one of the things that I remember writing about it after I finished it was that it just made me smile. It left me with a smile on my face. And it's such a pick-me-up for those days when you're feeling down. It's not one of those laugh out loud, although it has moments, but it really just warms your heart.
It is The Rosie Project. What's next?
Let's go to my other novel on the list, which is Longbourn by Joe Baker.
Yep.
This, too, has been getting quite a lot of attention, and it really does take you back to a very familiar literary household, which is the Bennet household of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, and it shows you the below-stairs life that exists in their world, and it's a really fascinating look at that lower-class lifestyle that exists in that time period, and... It's not Austen-esque. She's not trying to be Jane Austen or do a parody of it. I mostly think about this book like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Right? That sort of idea where the Bennets and their life are secondary and they sort of float in and out every once in a while. But what's happening above stairs is not a reflection of necessarily what is going on in the lives of the main characters of Longbourn. And they are the servants of the house. So it's Sarah, Polly, Mrs. Hill, of course. Everybody knows Mrs. Hill. And her husband, Mr. Hill. And this, mysterious new footman, James Smith. So it's a really, really wonderfully told book that I think should appeal to not only Jane Austen fans, but fans of, Downton Abbey, if you like that, seeing how the other half lives dare I say.
Yes. Upstairs, downstairs.
That's
and all of that.
Right, right. Check it out. It's very, very well written. It's a wonderful, wonderful work.
Longbourn by Joe Baker.
Okay, next up is really fascinating new biography of Duke Ellington. By Terry Teachout, who did Pops, A Life of Louis Armstrong. So This is Duke, A Life of Duke Ellington. So many things, I think, that nobody really knew about Duke Ellington because he seemed to be a very deliberate fellow in what he presented to the public. And I guess one of the main things that the author discovered throughout his research is that he was not an independent composer. He really worked collaboratively and didn't necessarily acknowledge those that he collaborated with. So, not necessarily the best guy to work with in that regard. Also, quite a womanizer. Oh, my goodness. Yeeks.
Yeah. But there's a great Terry's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Great!
In the 11 o'clock hour, and we'll talk about that. But there's a fascinating thing that actually drew me to the book initially was that the picture on the front cover of the book is one of the few that is taken of him from this one side because it was where he was stabbed because of his womanizing.
Yeah, his wife got him good.
And so he was always photographed from the other side and was one of the few that actually showed the injury. But as you said, my goodness, what a life.
Yeah. So it's a fascinating, and I think for certainly fans who enjoyed Pop's A Life of Louis Armstrong, I think anybody who likes the jazz era, everybody knows Duke Ellington. I mean, he is one of the foremost composers of that genre. So check it out. Read it.
Duke, A Life of Duke Ellington. And again, Terry Teachout will be out, be with us tomorrow on the roundtable at 11:30.
And then the next is the delightful, delightful Simon Winchester, who I got to meet at NEBA. He's just wonderful fellow.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. And such a great writer. He always makes everything that he puts out there so readable and accessible and fun.
Yeah.
So his latest book is The Men Who United the States. This is the first book that he's written about the United States. He's a very recent U.S. citizen himself, though he is not a native U.S. citizen.
A Brit.
Yes, he is. And he really took it upon himself to try to, streamline how our nation became, what does he say? The subheading of this is really great. It's America's explorers, inventors, eccentrics, and mavericks in the creation of one nation, indivisible. There. That's all you need to know.
Now, what is great about Simon Winchester is he takes these huge subjects, the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Geology. Mm-hmm. And then will just take them and make them very real. And the way he breaks this book up, because he's a geologist by training.
I know. I love it.
Of taking these five ways of looking at really the Earth.
Yep.
And then telling the story of America through those terms is really fascinating.
So, and it's the elemental aspects of it. So he's got chapters on how America was devised by and through wood, or the earth, or metal, fire. Water, what have you. It's fascinating, and the chapters are short. They're readable. They're accessible. So it makes it a really fast, fun history.
I love him.
Me too.
He's a dear friend, and I love having him on the show. And the book is fantastic and great stuff. And I think it's hard to believe he won't be in your neighborhood because he's doing like 180 cities on his tour. So it's got to be close. The Men Who United the States by Simon Winchester.
Fabulous. Next, I have to plug this one because, of course, not only the title, but the subject matter. It is The Well-Read Women, Portraits of Fiction's Most Beloved Heroines, and this is by Samantha Hahn. I don't know if you have seen this, but browse through. They are absolutely gorgeous, lush watercolor portraits of very famous fictional heroines. This is, I have to sort of put the caveat out there that it is the Western canon that she's really looking at. So you've got your Jane Eyre, you have Elizabeth Bennet, you have Anna Karenina. All of these wonderful, Daisy Buchanan is in there, and they're just these beautifully imagined images of these heroic women, and usually just a sentence or a phrase from the book in which they are portrayed. And I love it. I just love it. I think this is a wonderful thing to have and to give to any woman who is a reader in your life who loves this.
What an interesting collection of characters and women that he includes.
It's a she, by the way. And it's,
or that she includes. Yeah. I apologize. Samantha Hahn.
And again, each one is very specific to the character, the time.
I saw the name Charles Dickens, and I apologize. I realize now. Not by Dickens.
No. But I mean, even the script that she uses to write the words for each of the characters is very specific and very timely and dated to whatever period that book is.
With Charlotte from Charlotte's Web.
Yeah. Oh, I love that one.
It's so great.
Yeah. And they're unique and lovely. Just lovely.
Beautiful stuff. Annie Mame is in here, and Cosette. And, well, just really great stuff. Mary Lennox from The Secret Garden, who I love.
So, again, I think this is a wonderful gift for oneself or for the woman in your life who loves to read, and you want to give them something different and special that they will appreciate.
The other great thing, and just my very few moments spent with this book, is it's very cool that the depictions of iconic characters like Scarlett O'Hara and Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz don't look like Judy Garland or
they don't look like anybody you've ever seen before.
They're very different. That's
beautiful.
Lovely.
Yeah. Put this on your website. It's a great cover.
Good stuff. Yeah, we will. We'll get working on that. Well-Read Women by Samantha Hahn.
Okay, next one, which is also illustrative, is Gobble You Up. And this is a very limited edition, handmade book. I've shown you these before. I love this, not only for the story. This is, I'm not going to get this right. I might need to get that book back.
Okay, here.
Thank you, because it's...
Beautiful.
Yes, it's obviously... let's see. Pardon me while I stumble my way through this. Okay, the book is illustrated, and it is an old tale from the Rajasthan, I don't know if I pronounced that right, the Meena tribe. And Sunita is the illustrator, and they have this very unique technique of painting called mandala. Again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, so please, anyone out there, forgive me.
It sounds good. Just say it with confidence.
Thank you. Okay. So it's actually an art form practiced only by women, and it's passed down from mother to daughter, in which they render in white lime on brown mud walls and floors of their village homes. They don't use brushes. What they do is they soak chalk and lime paste in a cloth, and they squeeze it through their fingers. So they don't use brushes, and they just use these beautiful fluid lines. And again, this is an old trickster tale. So the jackal comes along, and he's the trickster in the tale, and he eats pretty much everything and everyone he meets. And eventually his belly gets so full that it bursts and everyone comes popping out. It smells great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it smells great.
It's a great book.
Great smelling
this is
book.
Just a really wonderfully sensual book for that, because it smells great, it looks great, it feels great, it sounds fabulous when you turn the pages. So anybody looking to get a really excellent book experience, and again, it's limited. There are only a few thousand of these that have been printed throughout, the world, the nation. So take one, take a look at one, pick it up. It's a wonderful group.
12 fish, tum to tum, I'm the crane, dum to dum. Ta ta tortoise, now rejoice. Cheeky squirrel making noise.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's told somewhat like like a picture book. How much time we got here?
We got a minute.
Okay.
A little lesson.
Then I've got to talk now about Counting by Sevens by Holly Goldberg Sloan. I love this book. It's actually a children's book, but please, I want everybody to read this. I've been trying to thrust this into the hands of everyone I come across because it is absolutely one of the most charming, delightful, poetic stories I have read in a very, very long time. This young girl, Willow Chance, who's a bit of an outsider because she's quite a genius and eccentric, loses both of her adoptive parents in a car accident and gets picked up by this wonderfully warm-hearted Vietnamese-American family, and her woefully inept idiot school counselor, Del Duke, who's one of my all-time favorite characters in literature. He is so bad at what he does, and he knows it, and yet he tries to plod along and do the best he can. So this is a really enchanting, lovely book about, not only dealing with loss, but really discovering what it means to be a family, and making your way and being resourceful and healing. I love it.
Amy Lane, you're the best. Thank you very much. OpenDoor/bookstore.com.